newcomers. Come on, I want to welcome Jerry and Angelo. We are so glad that you guys can make it here tonight, that you could join our family here at Victory Outreach. But can we hop right into the Word? Amen. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually," tell your neighbor, "actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." Verse 14, "And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill." Verse 16, "The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter?" Tell your neighbor, "But what does it matter?" And I'm going to end in this. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Tell your neighbor, "I rejoice. I rejoice." First of all, I just want to open up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much, God, for your grace, your mercy, your power, God. Lord, I thank you, God, for your love, God. I thank you, God, that you've called us, God, and that you've put us, God, Lord, here in the ministry of Victory Outreach, God. I pray, God, Lord, that you speak directly to the hearts of your people and that you move in such a mighty way. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, first of all, I just want to thank our pastors, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, for the privilege to preach. It's something I don't take lightly. Why? Because it is the gospel that sets people free. Come on, somebody. It's the word of God that brings salvation. And of course, I'd like to thank all our leaders, the ministerial staff. But the title of my message is, "You Have the Choice to Rejoice." Come on. Tell your neighbor, "You have the choice to rejoice." Man, well, we just got done with a powerful 2 weeks. The UTC was in the house. Man, we've been hitting the streets. We've been preaching the gospel. We've been having powerful services. And how many of you are here for the inner city madness drama? I don't know about you, but I was right there greeting. I strategically put myself there because I've been hitting the streets for 2 weeks, every day, all day, every day, passing out flyers, praying for people. And I wanted to see new people come into our church. I wanted to see lost and broken people walk in and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because like I said earlier, I don't know about you, but I was lost. I was broken. I had no purpose. And we had the opportunity to see new people come to Christ. And while I was there greeting, man, I saw new families. I saw people I didn't recognize. Man, Brother John, he was coming up to me. He's like, "Hey, man, this is my brother. Hey, this person I knew I was in prison with." There were people who were brand new, who didn't know the gospel. And at the end of the night, they were here at these altars. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That excites me to see people. Or maybe it's just something normal. Come on, somebody. It excites me to see people receive the gospel. And that's what our ministry does. That's what the ministry of Victory Outreach does. See, we are a part of an international ministry that goes out into the inner cities, that goes out into the streets, that goes out in the highways and byways. We're in the crack houses. We're in the ghetto. We're right there hitting the streets, reaching the lost and broken. See, we have a vision to reach treasures out of darkness. we have a vision to reach treasures out of darkness. I don't know about you, but I get excited. The vision excites me. The vision stirs me up. The vision puts me on fire. And it's such a privilege to be able to be a part of what God wants to do here. And one thing I want to let us know as a church is that we have a part in this vision. Tell your neighbor, you have a part. Man, tell your other neighbor, you have a part. We have a part in this vision. And what that means is we have the opportunity to make a difference in someone's lives. We have the opportunity to see that broken person who was addicted to meth, that broken person who was on the streets, that person who was homeless. We have the opportunity. Come on, give Jesus some praise here tonight. If you excites you to see that lost, broken person sitting in the pews, receiving the gospel, receiving healing. So we have a part. We have the opportunity. And that's the mentality that we have to have. If we are here in Victory Outreach, if we're called to be leaders, if we're called to make a difference, we have to have the mentality that says, man, I am excited to see broken people saved. See, our city is lost and broken. Just down the street, there are people who are hurting. Just down the street, there are crack houses. Just down the street, one of my friends, Tobiah, he was shot. He was murdered. Just down the street, there are people who are shooting up drugs and drinking. And there are people out there who are broken. And they're waiting for Victory Outreach Albuquerque to rise up and preach the gospel. They're waiting for people like you and I to be able to go out and share the hope of Jesus Christ. See, it doesn't matter our past mistakes. It doesn't matter if we feel qualified. It doesn't matter if we feel like we're good enough. It doesn't matter if we feel like, oh, I can't go up there and preach. I can never. No, it doesn't matter. Because if God has brought you into this house, he's going to give you what you need to go out and reach them. If God has brought you here tonight at Victory Outreach midweek service, then God has called you and equipped you and prepared you. Some of you may think, well, the UTC was here and they're all young people and that's only for the young people. Oh, that's only for the gang. Or, oh, maybe I'll, well, that's only for the homes. Oh, that's only for the front row. That's only for the leaders. No, I want to let you know, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, if you're sitting here in the pews, if God has called you, God has raised you up, God has equipped you to go out and preach the gospel. It's not just a gang thing. It's not just a home thing. It's not just for the leaders, but you could go preach the gospel at home, at work. It doesn't matter. We have the privilege to be a part of this vision. And it excites me and it stirs me up. But there's a question that we may have. There's a question that we may be thinking. How do we get there? How do we get there? How do we get excited? How do we get in that place where we can walk in the vision? And there's this little thing called life that sometimes gets in the way. And the thing about life is it isn't wrapped up with a nice, neat, pretty pink bow. Sometimes life gets nitty and it gets gritty and it gets dirty and things happen and things come up and things try to get away and they try to cloud you of the vision that God has called us. But I love this portion of scripture because it shows us the attitude that we should have. If we're going to go out and reach the inner cities of the world, if we're going to go out and reach drug addicts, if we're going to go out and make a difference. See, Paul here, it talks about Paul right here in the book of Philippians. This is what's called a prison epistle. This is a prison epistle, and what that means is that Paul was writing this letter in chains. Paul was writing this letter in chains. And see, he had plans to go out and preach the gospel all around the world. He had already gone on 3 missionary trips. He had established churches and nothing was going to stop him. But what ended up happening is he ended up getting falsely accused and they sent him off to Rome to go to prison. See, Paul was falsely accused. And it reminds me of what it says in Proverbs 16:9, that the heart of man plans his ways, But the Lord establishes his steps. And how many of you guys have been in the situation, man, where you may have made some plans for your life? I remember when I was 14, I wanted to be a pro skater. Those were my plans. I went to the skate park every day. I did that. I had all that stuff. Those were my plans. But how many of you know God has other plans? And sometimes we make plans for our lives and we think, man, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Or maybe we have other plans where we think to ourselves, well, I'm going to hook up with this girl. We're going to get married. We're going to have a family. Or I'm going to go out and party and drink. Or I'm going to go and do all this crazy stuff. But I want to let you know, even though we have plans and we make plans for our life, God establishes our steps. And whatever plans we have, what God has for us is way better than anything we could establish for ourselves. I don't know about you. I never thought I'd be up here preaching the gospel. I thought I'd be a pro skater, but I thank God that I'm here. I thank God. And what ended up happening here in this portion of scripture is, like I said, Paul just got back from his third missionary trip. And he established these churches, and God was using him in a mighty way, and he saw revival. He saw people healed. He saw people come to Christ. God had just appointed him the apostle to the Gentiles. And what that means is he called him to reach the darkest, dirtiest, broken people during that time. And he was excited. He was reaching people who didn't know God, who knew nothing about Jesus, and they were giving their lives. So he goes back to Jerusalem to give a report to I like to think of it as like the mother church back then, the Church of Jerusalem. He goes to Pastor Peter and he's like, oh man, Pastor, this is what God's doing. God's establishing churches. God is raising up leaders. God is raising up pastors. God is raising up missionaries. And then what ends up happening? He has some haters. How many of you got some haters? Man, they were jealous. They had envy. And they started falsely accusing him. And then what ends up happening is, you've read the story in the book of Acts. He goes before, he gets put in prison. People want to kill him. He goes before the king and he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Come on, are there some people who don't want to be disobedient to the heavenly vision? Man, he goes on a ship. He gets shipwrecked. He ends up on an island called Malta. And then he gets bitten by a snake. And he starts praying over people. And the whole island comes to Christ because he was able to heal the chief. You know the story, right? And all these things happen. And he ends up in prison. He ends up in prison. And the thing about the church in Philippi was, he established it, and he had gone back and forth in a period of between 2 years. He established it on his second missionary trip, and by his third, it had already been 10 years. So in that time, he'd gone back and forth, and he built a strong relationship with the people there. He built a strong relationship with the pastors that he set in place. He built a strong relationship with the Christians there. And when he wrote this letter to them, they were worried about him. They were concerned. They were like, Paul, what happened to you? What's going to happen? And he starts off this letter after all the formal stuff, and he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He was letting them know, Paul's attitude was, you may have heard I was in chains. You may have heard I was in a bad situation. But I want to let you know that the things that have happened have actually been served to advance the gospel. And if you are here tonight and you're going through some things, maybe you're going through some hardships, maybe you're going through some trials, maybe things are falling apart, maybe you feel discouraged, I want to encourage you right now, because what is actually happening, God is setting you up to bless you. God is setting you up to raise you up. God is setting you up to be used mightily. If that's you here tonight, I want you to praise him. I want you to give him some glory. Come on, if God is getting ready to use you in a powerful way, see, things may look bad, but God is actually doing something good. Come on, somebody. It may look bad, but God is actually doing something good. You may be in a bad situation, but God's saying, no, I'm going to turn it around. When we think our lives are in a mess, God is setting us up to be blessed. I'm going to say that one more time. When we think our lives are in a mess, God is setting us up to be blessed. See, God wants to use you in such a mighty way. But he's using this situation. Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison and in chains, but his attitude was saying, man, I know I'm in prison. I know I'm in chains. I know I may be broken. I know I may be beat down, but God is turning this around to advance the gospel. God is turning this around to give Christ glory. God is doing mighty things. He says that what has actually served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it has been clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Isn't that crazy? So we serve a God. We serve a God who is able to turn any situation around. See, in the natural, in our natural way of thinking, in the physical, when we look at the situation, things may not look good. Things may not look like everything's falling into plan. But in actuality, God is using it to turn around and do it for good. I remember when I first got saved. And some of you guys know my testimony, but I came from a broken home. My mom was addicted to drugs. My dad walked out on me. I was lost. I was broken. I started partying. I started drinking. I barely graduated high school. I was throwing my life away. And at that time, I didn't understand why everything was falling apart. At that time, I thought everything, I was losing everything. At that time, I thought I had no hope. But then Jesus Christ came into my life and he said, I'm called you. I've called you. I've chosen you. I have hope. I have purpose. If there's some people here who may be going through some stuff that they don't understand, God is using it. And after I got saved and I made the decision to serve God, after I made the decision to give my life to God, but after I made the decision to serve God and give my life to Him, I was able to look back and everything that happened to me, being addicted to drugs, living in a broken home, I'm able to use that to be able to relate with the lost and broken people in our city. I'm able to be motivated and think, man, there are young high schoolers, there are middle schoolers, there are young adults who are going through the exact same thing, and I want to be able to go out and reach them. I want to be able to relate to them and show them that there's hope. That's why God, at that time, I was asking God, why did I go through all that? Why did I have to live through that? But God was saying, I was preparing you for your calling. Right now, if you're going through something, God's preparing you for your calling because you're called by God. Sometimes we think, oh man, it's just enough to come on Wednesdays. It's just enough to come on Sundays, and that's it. But I want to let you know, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, we are called by God. He didn't call you to just sit there, but He's called you to be the light in this world. He's called you to be the salt and the light. He's called you to make a difference. He's given you purpose. In verse 14, it says, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. See, sometimes when we're in chains and we're going through it and we feel beat down and we feel broken, there's always other people watching. There's always people seeing how you're going to go through it, how you're going to get through it. And when we get through it with victory and we triumph through it and we get through it with a smile on our face, it encourages other people. I always tell people on the gang team, whether you like it or not, people are always watching you. I remember my little brother, man, he's in the other room right now. See, that's a testimony right there. I decided to serve God and now my little brother's in there serving God. Come on, somebody. God, people will follow you. But I remember when I was younger, man, we used to have popsicles in the fridge or in the freezer. And I always knew there was like one left. And I used to get so mad because I wanted that one popsicle. But if my little brother saw me going to get it, guess who'd want one too? And then if there wasn't, he'd start crying and I'd have to give it up to him. But in the same way, there are people who follow you, the things you do, the way you act, the things you say, and especially when you're going through some trials. I remember being in Vethi and someone once told me, they were like, man, brother, you're always smiling. You must never go through it. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's true, you know. But in actuality, I go through it a lot sometimes. If you don't believe me, ask my leader. But, man, I was told, man, smile and rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because, man, the devil could hit you. He could throw things at you. But if you're smiling and you're walking in victory, man, he'll give up. I've thrown everything at this dude, and he's still smiling. He's still sitting there. He's still doing it. Are there some people on Victory Outreach Albuquerque who know to smile through the storm, who know how to get through and walk in victory? Why? Because there are people watching. I was really blessed this last weekend because I took some of the new gen. I took some of the warriors out with me, and me and John, we were passing out flyers, and we were evangelizing. And I was challenging them. I was like, man, go give up. Go pass out flyers. Go pray for them. Go tell them about Jesus. And I remember, you know, I would do it a couple of times, and they were right with me, and I would challenge them, and they would go, and guess what they did? They said the exact same thing that I was saying. They said the exact same thing. Why? Because they were watching me. And there are people in your lives who are watching you. And the Apostle Paul knew here right now that the church in Philippi, they knew he was in chains, and that could have discouraged them. That could have taken them away from Christ. But he was writing them and say, I rejoice. And because I'm here in chains, people are proclaiming the gospel. If you have a sibling, if you have a family member who's lost and broken and doesn't want anything to do with church, just keep on pressing forward. Because they're watching you, and eventually one day they're going to come to you and say, man, why are you always smiling? Nothing must get to you. Oh, why do you always walk with the victory? It's important. We got to watch our conduct. We got to watch how we act. We got to watch what we say. And believe me, man, I struggle with this. I still struggle with this. Someone once told me, preach out of your weaknesses, because then you'll never run out of things to say. And I remember there was one time, I'll tell on myself. I remember one time I was going through it. I was still young. I was walking through the hallway. I was mad. I was like, man, something happened. I remember Brother Gary, thank God for our leaders. Come on, somebody. He came up to me and said, brother, you got to smile because there's somebody watching you. We have to smile. We have to walk in victory. Men of God, you should go to this men's retreat. You should go to this men's retreat because I don't know about you, but my Bible says that the man is the head of the household, and we lead in all areas. That means spiritually, financially, physically. And if we're not getting fed, if we're not feeding our spirit, if we're not plugging in with God, then our family who follows and watches us, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. That's why it's important. Man, I'm about to have a daughter in a couple weeks. And I have been praying. I have been seeking. I have been getting plugged in because I know she's going to follow me. She's going to watch me. We set the standards. And that's not just for the men of God, but that's for everyone. We set the standards. We set the standards. I believe that as Christians, we're called to be the leaders in society. As Christians, we're called. You don't have to be a leader in the church to be a leader in the world. We're called to set the standards. And in verse 15, it says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel, but the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. That's kind of messed up, huh? I'm going to break that down a little bit for you. What the Apostle Paul was saying is he was saying there are people preaching the gospel because they love me and they want to back me up. But there are also people, man, who are talking bad about me. There are also people who are trying to bring me down. How many of you have some people in your life, man, who try to bring you down? Who try to discourage you, who try to break you down. But what does the Apostle Paul say in the next verse? He says, but what does it matter? Tell your neighbor, but what does it matter? Man, and I believe that, now my leader, Pastor Patrick, he's taught me so many things. But if there's one thing that I could walk away and that he's always trying to pour into me is, but what does it matter? Sometimes we go through life and we make little things bigger than they really are. Little things bigger than they really are. Even big things, we make them big things. But man, I'll go to him and I'll go to his office. I'm like, Pastor, this happened or this happened, blah, 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 whine, whine, whine. And he tells me it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of, I'll say, they did this or I didn't do that or whatever. It's not that big of a deal. And the Apostle Paul right now, there were people trying to tear him down. And if you got some people in your life who are trying to discourage you and tear you down, you just got to go back to them and say, but what does it matter? It's not that big of a deal. Even when it is a big deal, it's not that big of a deal. See, we have the choice to rejoice. We have the choice to give in, give up, feel discouraged, or we have the choice to say, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have the choice to say, what does it matter? Because Christ is being preached. Come on, somebody. And in this, I will rejoice. I'll rejoice at the fact that I am the light of the world. I'll rejoice in the fact that Jesus died on the cross when I didn't deserve it. I'll rejoice in the fact that I am a part of an international family and God has called me to make a difference. But what does it matter? What does it matter? I remember when I got back from the training center, I was challenged. They said, I want you to be staff in the home for a little bit. Brother Dave, I think he was director of the home for a few months, and I was just there backing him up. And I remember I would talk to the guys, and they would come to me and say, oh, man, oh. I tell him, like, bro, how come you're not praying? It's prayer time. And be like, oh, man, well, brother so-and-so, they said this, or this person, they looked at me funny, or I didn't get a spoon when I asked for a fork, and whatever the case may be. So I'm not going to pray. That's funny now, right? But how many times do we do similar things like that? Man, they parked in my parking spot. I'm not going to church. Ah, oh, they're sitting in, I like to have the third row, the fifth seat, but somebody brand new took it. Oh my gosh, I don't want to go to church anymore. How dare that? I'm going to talk to the pastor. What does it matter? And I used to tell those guys, man, really? That's it? I said, I don't let anybody else dictate what I do or don't do for the Lord. I don't care if someone looks at me funny. I don't care if someone talks bad about me. I don't care if I'm feeling discouraged, if the enemy's attacking me. I don't care because nobody else is going to decide whether I serve God or not. Nobody else is going to decide whether I walk in my calling or not. Victory Outreach Albuquerque, we got to have that mentality. It doesn't matter. What does it matter? What does it matter? And the worship team can come up. I think to myself, this is something, I'll throw this one out for free, but this is something that I always think about. Because I've been there. I know I'm always smiling. But I've had to train myself. I'll rejoice. But I've been there. There have been plenty of times where I'm like, man, I want to give up. I can't believe this happened. Or, oh, I can't keep going. I'm being transparent with you. It happens. I can imagine right now that the Apostle Paul being in chains. Man, he wants to preach the gospel. He's seeing revival take place. He's establishing churches. Imagine getting that taken away from you. Man, he could have been discouraged. But I think about this. That one day, whether we like it or not, we're all good. The Bible says we're all going to go before the judgment seat of God. We're all going to go before the judgment seat of God. And God's going to say, man, I've called you to be a youth pastor. How come you didn't do it? And what am I going to tell God? Well, this person took my seat, my parking spot in church, and I didn't. God, I that's why I didn't do it. Or maybe even something serious. Well, God's going to say, man, I've called you to be a missionary. Why didn't you go? Well, God, I got this really awesome job, and I get paid a lot of money, and I drive this nice car and I have this big house. No, God's saying, man, no, I've called you. I've called you. I've called you. And that's something that we got to think to ourselves daily. Maybe when somebody offends us or somebody hurts us or we're in a bad situation or we feel like we can't do it or we feel like giving up, we got to think, I'm going to sit before the throne of God, and what am I going to tell him? Am I going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Or I'm going to say, man, I was defeated. I was crushed. Even with when the enemy comes attacking, what am I going to tell God? Well, God, you know, the devil, he was just hitting me 1 week. It was real bad, and I just gave up. I've been there. I've been so close. But I always remind myself, man, I got a calling on my life. God's going to hold me accountable. God didn't create me to just go to work and make a bunch of money and be comfortable here in the city of Albuquerque. But God's called me to be a pillar in my church. God's called me to go to the mission field. God's called me to be an evangelist. God's called me to go on a team. God's called, you know, on Victory Outreach, man, they're talking about the third wave. Man, I was listening to a message today. It was talking about the third wave. How descendants are going to rise up and they're going to take cities, and leaders are going to come out of the homes, and leaders are going to come out of the gang, and leaders are going to come out of the church. Leaders are going to come from Albuquerque. Leaders are going to come from Los Angeles. Leaders are going to come from Chicago. Leaders are going to come from all over the world. That's what God's called us to be. And we got to learn from the Apostle Paul. If we could all just stand to our feet. We got to learn from the Apostle Paul. In this moment, he was in defeat. He was broken. He was lost. He was in prison. But he says, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Are we a church that knows how to rejoice in the gospel? Are we a church that knows how to rejoice in the salvation that our Savior has given us? Are we a church that knows when times get rough, when the storm comes, when everything falls apart, that God has given us joy? If that's you here tonight, I want you to come to these altars and I want you to make the decision to say, what does it matter? I rejoice. I have the choice to rejoice. If that's you here tonight, we want to rejoice.
Yeah.